I'm going to speak today with Alveda King about the state of America. But first, MSNBC compares Donald Trump to Adolf Hitler.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
About being pumped and charged. Boy, that is my heart today, ready to pour out for each of you. Yes, we're going to talk through some controversial issues, but we are going to point everyone to the one, the only one, who can solve our problems and heal our wounds, namely the Lord God himself. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast. At the bottom of the hour, I'm going to speak with Alveda King, Martin Luther King's niece, who's been active in a Christian way, in a political way, in a justice way for many years. We're going to talk with her about the state of the nation, talk with her about the big event coming up on Saturday in D.C., one of two major events, the return. We'll talk about all that, a bunch of things I want to get to. But first, we've got a unique book giveaway, okay? It's just one copy, and you have to specifically fit the bill, all right? So it's going to go quickly, but here's the deal. When I was signing copies of Evangelicals at the Crossroads, when people pre-ordered, so these are numbered, signed copies, when I was doing that, I missigned one. I put the wrong name down, and it was numbered already, so it was a specific person had pre-ordered number 19, right? So book number 19, out of, you know, that's the order in which it came in. So anyway, I missigned it, and I put the wrong name in. I signed it to James. So we put the book aside. I thought nobody in our staff around here is James. So we just put it aside. So I grabbed the book today because I was going to read some quotes from it that you'll see are relevant to this MSNBC issue that I mentioned. But here's the deal. Here's phone number, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you live in the United States and your name is James, the first James that calls in, or if your husband is James, the first James that calls in, 866-348-7884, I'm going to send you a free copy of Evangelicals at the Crossroads, already signed to you, James. So go ahead, 866-348-7884. If you are James listening live right now, or if you are married to James, give us a call. You get a free copy of the book. All right. Before I talk about MSNBC, we play a kind of shocking video clip for you. Before I get into that, can I share my heart honestly, openly with you? We have so little ability to have nuanced discussions with one another. We have such inability to be, and by the way, you're not coming on the air when you call, so just it's all handled off the air. Okay, so it's so difficult for us to just be civil, and here, I posted when we heard of Ruth Bader Ginsburg's death, I posted, you know, the timing of this, the significance of that moment coming into the holiest days of the Jewish calendar. And then I said, may God's kingdom be advanced. In other words, may his purposes be accomplished with her passing and the new Supreme Court seat. And may God comfort her grieving family, right? So I get people angry with me for celebrating the death of someone responsible for millions of abortions. You can't even have a moment of civility and respect for the family. And I was not saying one of the great heroes of our day and cultural icons and amazing, I wasn't saying any of that. I just said what I said and was respectful. And you know, President Trump spoke well. You know, the person has just died. The other thing is, there's a ton that she did that we would find positive, and a lot that she did that helped women around America. She made many, many legal rulings and pioneered things just in her own life as a human being, as a woman, as a Jew. They were positive. Of course, I grieve over her positions that affected abortion and other issues sacred to us. Of course I do. We've spoken about that openly over the years. So I was just on Moody Radio, one of their national shows, earlier this afternoon, and the host wanted to have a discussion with me about these very issues, her legacy, the bad, the good, etc., the timing, all of this. So we're talking initially, and a woman calls in, very clear-headed, articulate, pro-lifer, talked about being on the wrong side of abortion issue and misled in her understanding, and how can we say anything positive, basically paraphrasing what she said, how could we say anything about positive about her when you were talking about the lives of millions of babies? I said, I 100% agree with you in terms of the wrongness of her position and the massive stakes involved with abortion and the truly life and death issue that this is. Overwhelmingly with you. Back in the days of Operation Rescue, I was arrested for my pro-life activity, and we worked with people day and night on the front lines of the pro-life movement. Of course. No one's minimizing that, but let's look at the whole of the life. And we're trying to understand why so many in the Jewish community and so many women looked at her. It wasn't just her abortion stand. There were other things about her life. So I said to the woman, I absolutely agree with everything you said in terms of value, importance, and so on. But we weren't celebrating life. We were just giving an honest evaluation. Then another woman calls later, also articulate, clear-headed. How can you, all you do is talking about the evil of abortion. What about her soul? Did she know the Lord? That's the only thing that matters. I thought, I agree with you as well. But one is saying, how can you say anything positive, basically, when her only legacy is abortion? The other is saying, how can you only talk about abortion when the only thing that matters is whether she knew the Lord or not? And you know, I live in this world, friends. The other day, someone on Twitter, I just happened to notice a comment, you're a fence sitter when it comes to race. I'm not a fence sitter when it comes to race. I'm trying to be biblical. I'm not trying to please the right or the left. I differed with Tucker Carlson yesterday. I'm going to differ with Donnie Deutsch today. So I differed with Fox News yesterday, MSNBC today. My allegiance is above. My allegiance is not to a political party or a movement or a news industry. My allegiance is to the Lord. Doesn't mean I always get it right. Doesn't mean my stand is always perfectly righteous. Doesn't mean I don't have blind spots. My allegiance is to the Lord, to please God, not people. I want to serve you. I want to help you. I want to equip you. I want to do what I can to do my part in encouraging you to run your race and make a difference for the Lord. But I'm here to please Him. So can we step higher? Can we talk about race? Can we talk about other conflicts? Can we talk about things that divide us in ways that are mature? I believe we can. We've sought to model that many years here on the Line of Fire. I seek to model that in my articles. That's one thing Mike Huckabee expressed his appreciation to me for taking these strong stands, but doing so with grace. So that's often far too lacking on the conservative side, but it goes both ways. You might say, yeah, well, you sound like Fox News. If I happen to agree with a position that, say, Sean Hannity also agrees with, fine. I mean, we're both pro-life, okay? But I'm not a Fox News host, and I'm not a political analyst. I am a conservative because I'm a follower of Jesus. Here, let me ask you this. How often have you heard me talk about guns? How often have you heard me talk about the importance of the Second Amendment? Well, I believe it's important, and I believe we have to be on guard if the government wants to disarm America and then you've got a radical socialist movement wanting to take over. Yeah, or a mobocracy ready to come through your neighborhood. I understand important self-defense and all that. But it's not a big issue to me. It's not a major issue to me. It's not something I've majored on. So I'm not just taking the conservative talking points. Are you following me? Are you with me on that? 866-34-TRUTH. All right. When I wrote my book, Evangelicals at the Crossroads, I put in an entire chapter called What Would Bonhoeffer Do? Because in this chapter, I analyze a major statement from the International Bonhoeffer Society, Bonhoeffer scholars, who say that looking at the rise of Donald Trump, it has frightening parallels to the rise of Adolf Hitler, and a responsible thing for Christians is to see that Donald Trump is removed from being president. And that was the call. So I look at their statement, analyze the strengths of it, and then I analyze the weaknesses of it and explain fundamentally why they have really missed the point here. I don't know what Bonhoeffer would do. I'm not a Bonhoeffer scholar. Even if I was, he's not alive here, and it's a different world and situation in which we're living. But either way, that was disturbing enough, but it's still scholars, and it's a statement online. We'll look at their statement in a moment. But things like this concern me more. Listen to this. This is on Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough with Donnie Deutsch. Listen to this.
Faces without wearing masks and putting the lives of themselves and their loved ones in danger. Here we are 6 months later. Donald Trump still hasn't learned a thing.
Look at that crowd. You know, before I get to COVID, what stunned me is, and Alex, if we show some of the kind of the actual live shots of the crowd, there's not one person of color anywhere. Like, usually behind him, he puts one kind of token in there, a token person. If you scan this crowd, this is stunning. It is, if you go not even behind him, but through the thousands and thousands of people. And this to me looked like a rally from the early 30s. You know, Joe, I was watching the first hour, and as Jay Johnson was talking about comparing to Hitler, and, you know, that's something you cautiously do, because we can use the word fascist, but then when you go Hitler, you can't, oh, everybody starts to go. But what was going on in early 30s Germany? Well, basically, you had a destruction of the belief in the free press. You had a blurring between the executive branch and the Justice Department. You have creating an other, whether it's Muslims, whether it's Mexicans, whether it's congressmen who weren't born in this country. And then you have the destruction of free elections. And we're here. And what is the difference between Adolf Hitler and Donald Trump? I'm not saying there's a Holocaust, but when you look at the tactics, and that is where we are right now.
Shame on Donnie Deutsch for those ridiculous and ignorant comments to compare Donald Trump to a mass murdering, evil, wicked, demonized man, Adolf Hitler, and to even compare Christian support of him for Christian support of Hitler, support of Trump to Hitler. As for the crowd, by the way, the area happened to be 93% white, less than 4% black, and there were others in the crowd there, by the way, but let's dig deeper. Let's unpack this together.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let's be blunt here, friends. With all of Donald Trump's failings and shortcomings, let's be blunt. He is not sending people to concentration camps by the millions. He is not seeking to exterminate Jews and gypsies and others. He is not exterminating the elderly. He is, to make the comparisons, it's beyond rhetoric. It's immoral. It's irresponsible to do such. And I understand people in the media on all sides make all kinds of outrageous statements, but we're going to call them out. We're going to address them. It is righteous to do so. So let's look at the argument from the Bonhoeffer Society. Okay, let's look at what they said in terms of their arguments against Trump. And I'm going to dig down a few paragraphs. Begin reading here. A hallmark of Dietrich Bonhoeffer's legacy is his insistence that we see the great events of world history from the view from below. That is, he urges us to see from the perspective of those who suffer. The policies of the Trump administration both threaten and disempower the most vulnerable members of our society, including people of color, members of the LGBTQ communities, Muslims and other religious minorities, immigrants, refugees, the poor, the marginally employed, and the unemployed. Moreover, Donald Trump has now taken ill-advised military action that raises the specter of war. One of the greatest lessons learned from the history of the Christian churches during Germany's Third Reich is that it is crucial to respond to threats to human life, integrity, and community when they first appear, and to continue to challenge them. As Bonhoeffer scholars, religious leaders, and confessing Christians, we have a special responsibility to name crises and discern responsible actions of resistance and healing. We confess our own complicity in the social order that has produced Donald Trump's presidency. For many of the social and economic justices we confront predate it. Then it says, we believe, scrolling down, that one crucial step in this reckoning is ending Donald Trump's presidency. We do not make the statement lightly, and they go on from there. Okay, so I get into that in Evangelicals at the Crossroads. I analyze it. I interact with it. Yes, Trump has made many statements that have marginalized different people and many statements that have been insensitive and have been lacking in nuance, because of which he's been accused of being anti-immigrant, anti-Muslim, anti-black, anti-Hispanic, on and on it goes. I understand that, fully understand that. When you go through things and actually look at policies, the policies are aimed at the betterment of all Americans. That's why there's actually rising support in the African-American community for Donald Trump, according to polls that have been taken over the course of the year. In recent years, I don't know exactly where they stand with the race issues going on. But if you look at the Republican National Convention, it was black voice after black voice. Oh, those are just token. Oh, so we're on the Democrat side. They're not token. On the Republican side, they are. Having a black surgeon general or black cabinet member, those are just token. When Trump meets with hundreds of black leaders, young black leaders in the White House to interact, that's just token. When he calls in black pastors, leading black pastors and Hispanic pastors to sit and talk about race issues in America, that's just token. When he calls for special summits and gatherings featuring black leaders to interact and to get insight and wisdom, that's just token. So whatever he does is just going to be branded token. By the way, as for a rally, people wearing masks or not, there's constant debate that keeps going on. I wear a mask because I'm required to. I don't think I need to, okay? I don't think it's helping me necessarily. I wear it in the stores. I wear it in the airport, on the plane, because I'm required to. When I'm preaching in a church, I'm not wearing it. When I'm attending the service, I'm not wearing it, all right? Everyone's got to sort that out. But we'll put that aside. Put the mask debate aside. I don't want to be distracted with that. Let me share some of the things that I shared in Evangelicals at the Crossroads. So I'm just going to read some of this to you. We don't have the text to put up for those who are watching, but let me read some of this to you. Okay. Remember first that when President Trump pulled our troops out of Syria, he's not the one provoking war around the world. He's trying to pull our troops out, get our troops out of Afghanistan, pull their troops out of Syria. There was an outcry from Christian leaders, Pat Robertson, Robert Jeffress, David Brody, Franklin Graham, different ones spoke openly, and there were warnings, there were concerns about doing this, and don't abandon the Kurds. In other words, this is not just blind following, okay? So I want you to consider this, all right? Let's just see when this took place. Eric Metaxas notes, shortly after Germany voted to leave the League of Nations in November 1933, the Nazis held a large rally for the German Christians, meaning the pro-Nazi Christians, with 20,000 in attendance. This is 1933. This is early on. There, a high school teacher named Reinhold Krauss, who was the leader of the German Christians, this is the pro-Nazi Christians, addressed the exultant crowd. In coarse, crude language, Eric Metaxas writes, Krauss demanded that the German church must once and for all divest itself of every hint of Jewishness. The Old Testament would be first, quote, with its Jewish money morality and its tales of cattle merchants and pimps. The stenographical record notes that sustained applause ensued. The New Testament must be revised, too, and must present a Jesus corresponding entirely with the demands of National Socialism, and it must no longer present an exaggerated emphasis on the crucified Christ. This tenet was defeatist and depressing, which was to say Jewish Germany needed Germany needed hope and victory. Krauss also mocked the theology of the Rabbi Paul with its scapegoats and inferiority complex, and then he mocked the symbol of the cross, quote, a ridiculous, debilitating remnant of Judaism unacceptable to National Socialists. Furthermore, he demanded that every German pastor must take an oath of personal allegiance to Hitler, and the Aryan paragraph that demanded the expulsion of every church member of Jewish descent must be heartily accepted by every German church. This is 1933. This is how open things were. This is a decade before the full horrors of the Holocaust are unfolding, or almost a decade. So to make it like, well, Trump's like it, no, it's immoral. Immoral to say such a thing. And think of, say, Trump's posture towards Jews, right, with his own family, Jewish members, Ivanka and Jared and their children, and then being the best friend Israel's had in years, and moving the embassy to Jerusalem, and brokering this important peace treaty that brings more security to the Jewish people in the land. You're going to compare it to Hitler? They say, no, it's not so much treatment of Jews, treatment of blacks. Okay, so picture this. Picture, as Hitler is already fully in power, that a group of rabbis and Jewish leaders are all surrounding him in prayer, standing there with their hands on his shoulders, and that picture is released publicly. Right, sure. It's not going to happen in a trillion years. But you have black leaders gathering to meet with the president, Christian leaders laying their hands on him, praying over him, and he's asked them, look, I know people very close to the president. I have no connection to the president, okay? But I know people who are close to him, all right? I have a friend that can call him his personal cell. And every person I know that's anywhere near close to the president says that he actually cares about bettering life for Americans. And when he became more educated about things happening in inner city inequality, he wanted to do his best to lift up those in the inner city and to lift up those in the African-American community that any way that he could, not just with employment, but standing with the colleges, prison reform, things like this, the negative things that have affected the black community more than others, he wanted to fix that. You're going to compare that to Hitler? Well, he's just taking over. How was he taking over? There was an impeachment process, okay? And it was decided by a vote that he was not going to be put out of office. And I go on. Let me read a few more things out of Evangelicals at the Crossroads here. Oh, let's see. 1938, after Hitler annexed Austria in a brazen act of military expansionism, some so-called Christian leaders were giddy with excitement, making fresh commitments to the Führer. As Metaxas notes, Bishop Zasa of Thuringia was first in line, aching to say thank you to his Führer, and doing so by demanding that all of the pastors under him take a personal oath of loyalty to Hitler. His telegram to Hitler has been preserved. My Führer, I report in a great historic hour all the pastors of the Thuringian Evangelical Church, obeying an inner command, have with joyful hearts taken an oath of loyalty to Führer and Reich, one God, one obedience in the faith. Hail, my Führer. And it goes on and on. And then other pastors were called on to make oaths to Hitler. Can you imagine? You think of all the evangelicals who have supported Trump and all the conservative Christians who have supported Trump from different backgrounds. You think that if they were told you must now make an oath of loyalty to Donald Trump, that part of your confession of faith in your church, you must make an oath of loyalty to Donald Trump. Do you think there is one chance in a million that these leaders would say, okay, well, now introduce that in our church? Oh, you might have some extremists out there. I'm sure you have some extremists out there that in the days of President Obama, if you had to add an oath of loyalty to him, you'd have some extremists on the other side. You have extremists all over the place. But the idea that when he made his decision to pull troops from Syria, that people, leaders, were so quick to speak out and challenge him. You think if he changed his views on abortion, these leaders would say, well, he's our man. He's our leader. We bow down to him. Are you kidding me? Seriously? So let's wake up to reality. Let's get away from this dangerous rhetoric, folks. It's destructive. It's destructive. Yes, I'll say it again. Trump's rhetoric is often divisive and often destructive in other ways, and insulting and demeaning to people. And then many of us, followers of Jesus, think, well, if he's doing it, we can do it because he's a fighter. We're going to fight. And we get just as nasty and crude. That's despicable. That's inexcusable. And for Christian leaders to think, well, if Trump conducts himself like this, then I can, that is absolute folly and terrible immaturity. On the flip side, when someone on the left is going to go this far with an extreme and ugly statement and just say, yeah, Trump, like Hitler, that's where we are now. That's ignorant, that's dangerous, and it must be called out. I'm going to speak the truth regardless of where the chips fall. We'll be right back and speak with Alveda King. Stay tuned.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, 42 minutes from now. Yeah, 42 minutes from now, 4:15 Eastern Time, we'll be doing our weekly exclusive YouTube chat. We didn't do a live one last week, first time in many, many, many weeks. We didn't, just schedule conflicts and things like that. But we're doing it this week. So less than 45 minutes from now, you say, how do I participate in that? Just go to our YouTube channel. Some of you are watching there. Just a little wave to those watching. But, yeah, just go there at 4:15 or a couple minutes before, and you get to post your questions there. So that's the Ask Dr. Brown YouTube channel, ASK Dr. Brown. And let me just do this. I'm looking at my screen. I've got multiple screens here. Oh, it's a cool operation. Yeah, once we went to video in addition to radio, it's a real cool setup and operation here. So, but I'm looking at one of my multiple screens, shows me a Facebook feed here. So if you're watching on Facebook right now, okay, I want you to send me a thumbs up or a heart or a smiley, some kind of little emoji. Just if you're watching on Facebook now on the Ask Dr. Brown page, just shoot something my way. Thumbs up, smile, doesn't have to be a comment, just get it our way. We are doing our best to get hold of Alveda King, and she's scheduled to be on with us now for the next few minutes talking about a major event taking place in D.C. this Saturday. There we go, hearts, thumbs up. Come on, let's flood the screen with that for a little while. Hey, Rachel, don't worry, you've left messages, we're good here. Okay, we're supposed to have Alveda King on. Maybe there was a conflict with time zones that sometimes happens. Maybe something came up and she can't be with us. The folks doing scheduling are wonderful schedulers. So not sure what happened. Okay. Cool. I love all the hearts coming our way. Sweet. Nice. Thank you. Okay. All right. So phone lines are just open now. I had an interview scheduled, but I'm going to open up the phones. Anything you want to talk to me about, you want to differ with me on, you have a Bible question you want to ask, or we actually didn't give this book away earlier. If your name is James or your husband's name is James, I've got a free book for you. I've got a free copy of Evangelicals at the Crossroads, because when I was signing these books, when we got our first orders in, I missigned one. I got the name wrong, and I signed it to James. So we put it aside. So if that's you, call and get a free book. You just have to live in the States, and you don't even have to come on the air. Hang on. We did get it. Got it. All right. Sorry. I mean, I saw the phones ring right at the beginning, and I missed it. Okay. So we're good. Sorry. We gave the book away immediately. I saw calls come in. All right. So so let's just wipe everything out the last few minutes. Hey, friends. Welcome to The Line of Fire. I am so glad you are here. 866-348-7884. So even if you call, your name is James, sorry we gave the book away. But anything you want to talk to me about, give me a call. Look, friends, we're living in really challenging times in America right now. It's bottom line. We're living in tremendously challenging times. And in our lifetimes, we have never seen partisan politics and divisions this deep in so, so many ways. And when it comes to the battle for Justice Ginsburg's seat, it comes down to one issue. Now think of this for a minute. What are some of the most volatile issues in America today? Well, race, immigration, national security, LGBTQ activism, quite a few very volatile, divisive issues in America right now. And you just push a button, boo, talk about that. Everything explodes and people upset and angry and just, shrew, it's very intense, very intense. But the number one most volatile issue is abortion. Even more volatile right now than race issues in America. And look, the vast majority of Americans want things to be good and fair for everyone. The difference is how bad things are, how much things need to be fixed. and you have extremists on either end, but the vast majority of Americans would agree that they want what's best for America, that for all Americans. I think the vast majority would agree, and most people that you know probably feel like that. Yeah, we'd like things to be as equal for everyone as possible. You know, that you have equal opportunities and things like that, and equal pay for the same job, and equal treatments by the courts, and equal treatment by the police, and equal treatment by the government, and so on, and schools. And, you know, we think that should be right. We believe in that. So abortion is the great battle. And it's the life and death battle. I've got an article. Let me see if it's up yet in different places. I wrote it last night. It's a pretty intense article. Let's just see. Is it on our website? I think it is. No, it's not up. Okay. Anyway, it's going to be going up on different sites. It's on some already. I just don't know which ones. But about Armageddon and abortion, why people are talking about Armageddon and using that type of extreme rhetoric. It's because this is the ultimate battle. And what we have to be able to do, friends, is not get caught up in the intensity of the emotion on either side and step back and say, Father, how can we make a difference? How can we be vessels of life? Oh, there are times we call things out and we're passionate about what we believe. But, you know, I was looking at one right-wing website earlier today, and it was talking about all the issues that Congress has uncovered regarding Joe Biden and his son Hunter and alleged financial gain that came to the family while Mr. Biden was vice president. And then it went over left-wing sites, and none of it was being reported there. Not a word of it. And then stuff on the left wing not being reported on the right. And it's like, where do you even get your news? I mean, how do you even filter it? Unless you look at 10 different things on each side and sort them out. We cannot just be caught up in partisan politics. We have to say, okay, we stand for life, we stand for truth, we stand for justice. And here we are, God's people, seeking to model that by the way we treat each other. I get hit from both sides because I want to do my best to stand for truth, regardless of whether it offends one side or the other. I said I took respectful difference with something Tucker Carlson said yesterday. It was fairly minor, but I took respectful difference with that. He's on Fox News. I took very strong exception to something Donnie Deutsch said on MSNBC, not because it was MSNBC versus Fox, but because of the nature of what he said. I'm going to do that. I'm going to speak the truth as I understand it. And I'm going to listen to people that have different perspectives than I do to give me further background. Had another great chat with a brother, black brother, that had reached out to me some time ago, a regular listener that's wanted to interact with me off the air about race-related issues. You know, another great conversation. He was saying, hey, you know, I want to separate sports from politics, but hey, look, sports is one of the few things that was open to blacks for years now. And, you know, if you're going to excel, you're going to excel there. And entertainment, other things weren't open, so there's always been political implications. I said, oh, I agree. I'm not denying that. I'm saying use your platform however you want to use it, but when it comes to the sports event, let's just make that sports because people want the distraction. Anyway, we were talking. I said, hey, man, you keep talking to me. I have other friends. You keep talking to me. I was interacting with one of my black friends that really studies issues in depth. Tell me more about Breonna Taylor. Tell me more about the issues and the gentrification of her neighborhood and other things involved. You know, if you're shooting through a closed door, you know who you're shooting at. So that's one thing. Were you targeting blacks or you don't know who you were shooting at? Or were there larger issues involved? In other words, I'm always trying to understand and not just taking the right wing side or the left wing side. If I end up more on the right with issues, it's because as I study scripture, it's to me the right position to take, the right attitude to have with pro-life and with religious liberty and with Israel and other things like that. But I'm not just conservative because that's my political orientation. I registered as an independent, even though I've voted Republican in recent elections and things like that. I registered independent just for my stance before God, that my allegiance is to him, not to a political party. And I'm not saying you can't register with a political party. I'm just saying that's my own testimony and stance. I tweeted this out. Let's just see where this is. I tweeted out last night, posted it on Facebook as well, just to try to keep things simple and keep focus. And of course, some attacked me for this statement, but most appreciated it. I tweeted this. Let's keep things simple. I live for Jesus. I vote for the president. My message is Christ crucified and resurrected, not Trump elected and reelected. I'll die for the Lord. I pray for the president. Only one captivates my heart and my mind, and he sits enthroned in heaven, not D.C. Can we keep that perspective? Is that too much to ask? All right, let us go to Josh in Durham, North Carolina. Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire today.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Hey, I had a my question is about in the book of Job, we read in the first chapter, I believe, that Job would make sacrifices on behalf of his children just in case any of them had sinned in their heart. And I was wondering, do you think that applies today to where I can pray for the forgiveness of my children's sins?
Yes, it does apply. The question is exactly how. So first, Job is pictured as a righteous non-Israelite or even pre-Israelite. Hence, he would offer sacrifices. In other words, if it was during the days of the Torah and the Tabernacle and Temple in Jerusalem, you would have offered sacrifices there. So just that one little detail that reminds us of this is like a pre-Israelite narrative. But certainly we intercede. Look, we cannot pray someone into the kingdom just on our faith. If our children are away from the Lord, we don't have the power to pray them into the kingdom so that purely on our faith and our prayers, they get saved. They ultimately have to come into right relationship. But there's no question that our intercession can make a massive difference, that our intercession can delay judgment, that our intercession can give time for repentance, that our intercession can cover someone while God is reaching out to them. It's part of, quote, standing in the gap or climbing into the breach of the wall. So you can only do so much. You can't make an unrighteous person righteous, but you can pray for mercy. You can pray for divine restraint because God's working with us, right? So if we do our part, he'll listen. Just like Moses praying for the children of Israel when they sinned in the wilderness, he was able to hold back some of the wrath and he was able to delay some of the judgment. And of course, we pray for hearts of repentance. The other thing is there may be things that people we love do and they're not fully aware of it. They don't fully know what they're doing or what is going on. And our prayers can cover them in situations like that. So yes, our prayers for children can make a massive difference. There is application. We just don't want to take it too far. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us. I was expecting to be in an interview with Alveda King. Now, don't know what happened in terms of coordination, but phone lines are open. We just bought a little extra time unexpected. 866-348-7884. Anything you want to talk to me about on any subject. And in less than a half hour, so 4:15 Eastern time, we'll be right back on our YouTube channel. That's Ask Dr. Brown, A-S-K-D-R Brown on YouTube. We'll be there with our weekly Q&A chat. So you don't have to be able to call in. If I can't call in then, you just post your questions. And we get to a lot. We get to answer a lot of questions. So that's a great time to interact. And to all the critics, to mockers, skeptics, haters, folks who just differ with me, that's a great place to weigh into. You can weigh in anonymously. You can come up with any silly name you want and raise your post and nobody will know who you are. You can actually do that, whatever your identity is. Now, I don't recommend that unless you have to do it for some security purposes. But I'm saying, you know, no one's going to recognize your voice. So you could differ with me all you like. You say, Mike, why do you encourage folks to do that? Well, because we get blasted. Number one, I like to have discussion. I like to talk with people that differ with me. I think it's helpful. I think it's good from my perspective to hear other perspectives where mine are challenged. Okay? And just picture if the only people around you are like, oh, you're wonderful. Oh, you're amazing. Oh, what you say is so good, or the way you do that is so good, and you don't get any constructive criticism or pushback, obviously you're going to be weaker because of that. The other thing is I like to be able to challenge what other people think. And you present your view and I'll present mine. You say, well, Dr. Brown, obviously there are not that many people who differ because they don't call in. Oh, no, quite the contrary. Quite the contrary. When I do have the time and look at comments on YouTube in particular, or often on Facebook or Twitter, we get blasted by the second. Blasted, criticized, attacked, mocked, maligned. I'm not saved for this reason. I'm not saved for that reason. I'm a false teacher. I'm a heretic. I'm a skeptic. You say, well, don't let it bother you. It doesn't bother me. Doesn't look like it bothers me. But I'd like to talk to those people. I'd like to challenge them. See, I love truth. Here, little confession time. I've said this before. But sometimes I'll be looking on YouTube and just checking, you know, reviewing some comments. And sometimes I'm able to do that. All right. And there are comments that will get flagged because they some have profanity or something, so they get flagged. But others get flagged because there's a website in there. So it's an automatic setting that we have on YouTube that if you post something with a link, it's going to get flagged until it gets approved. So I might see, I go look, okay, there are 30 messages that came in the last couple hours that are waiting to be approved. So I'll look at them, all right, because I'm there. I'll look at them. And it's completely false information. Now, it's not dangerous information. In other words, something that should not be on YouTube. And it's not just specifically calling out individuals, but, you know, Brown, you're wrong on this because you know anything about history and here's the website. Or you got this completely wrong because you're ignorant of Hebrew and here's the website. Or, you know, you're clueless on this and here's the website. And I look at it and I know for a fact, as Shirley said, I'm sitting here, it's false. I click to approve it because they have their right to post it, right? They didn't violate our guidelines. They didn't engage in a personal attack in a way that's unacceptable. I mean, they're attacking me, but it's, you know, and the difference is they're not using profanity. They didn't just take over the thread for their own purposes. It's on topic, but it's complete ignorance. I love truth. I want to stop and say, by the way, this is wrong for the following reasons. But they have their right to post it. So there are on our sites, literally, if you look at over the years, all of our social media sites, literally hundreds of thousands of comments differing with us, blasting us. So I just like, well, let's talk about it then. You're so sure about your point? Come in with your ammunition. Come in ready, because I'll have mine ready, and we will have it out for the sake of truth. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Rockville, Maryland. Used to live right around there. Susan, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call, and I'm kind of walking in an area where there's some traffic, so I hope it won't be too much distraction. But thank you again for taking my call. I had a question. I go to a Messianic congregation in Rockville, and the rabbi's wife sent us an email saying, call these following numbers regarding the Supreme Court justice and encourage that, you know, mm-hmm. they'll take it for a vote and so forth. So I did that, and I called, the long and the short of it is, and I'll get back to that. The question I had is on the F-35s for Israel, Prime Minister Netanyahu said he was against that, us selling F-35 to Israel. And so I don't know whether we should be calling our elected officials.
That's Israel. You mean United Arab Emirates?
Yes. It's a stealth bomber. We sold it to no one else in that region.
Right.
And so here we have this peace treaty, but then we kind of, you know, do this.
Yeah, I actually watched a video yesterday, Susan, with a number of Israeli leaders, generals, and different ones involved in security. And they all emphasized that because of Israel's unique situation, surrounded by so many hostile neighbors, that they must have the competitive edge in the military, that it's essential for them to keep that and maintain that simply to secure the nation so that they're not wiped out. You know, Hezbollah alone is said to have 100,000 rockets pointed at Israel at any moment. So it is surrounded. So it's got Hezbollah in the north. It's got Iran to the east. It's got Hamas to the southwest. And then the larger hostile radical Muslim world that hates Israel. So these are genuine issues. And then the extremists within the Palestinian Authority, again, that's not going to be the all, but those there that are, they're terroristic in their thinking. So Israel must maintain its competitive edge. However, Prime Minister Netanyahu entered into this with full understanding of what would happen. In other words, my understanding is that he knew that UAE would get some military benefit. The key thing is that Israel keeps its competitive edge, because right now the issue is that the Muslim world is more deeply divided between Sunni and Shiite right now than it is as deeply as it used to be about Israel. So the concern is that UAE is able to defend itself against an Iran or against some of these others that would seek to attack. So I would not be alarmed at that. I believe that President Trump and Prime Minister Netanyahu and the leaders of Bahrain and UAE have talked these things through. And the overall sense is that this is very, very positive. So again, Israel and the U.S. know what they need to do to maintain Israel's competitive edge. And America needs Israel as a strong democracy in the Middle East, standing against radical Islam, standing against terrorism, standing against the Irans of this world. And when we say Iran, we don't mean the people as a whole, but the corrupt Islamic radical leadership. So that's the issue. And for America to have a presence without having soldiers that are potentially dying. I mean, Israel does not want foreign soldiers in its land fighting its battles. Israel said, we'll fight our battles. But America has the strategic advantage of having a strong presence there without having to pay for it. But then it pays for it with the massive military aid that it pours into Israel. So, Susan, I wouldn't be concerned about that, in short. I wouldn't be concerned. I believe that everything is being worked out with full recognition that Israel will have its competitive edge that it needs. Again, Israel has no desire to take over these other countries, to bomb these other countries, to hurt these other countries. Israel's goal is self-defense, preservation, security. It's that simple. I saw a clip from a very powerful documentary that I'm reviewing now. I can't say more about it yet because it's not out, but incredibly powerful documentary that really tries to lay out with compassion and fairness the Israeli side, the Palestinian side. It's heartbreaking as you read from both sides, both perspectives. But there's one Israeli woman saying that there's a Jewish consciousness that was only deepened by the Holocaust that came up with three realities. One, there's always going to be a Gentile somewhere that wants to destroy the Jewish people, like a Hitler. Two, most other Gentiles are going to sit back and let it happen or even cooperate with it. Three, Israel has to have its own national homeland with security. And with that in mind, it does what it does. Fascinatingly, the security barrier is 95% fence and 5% wall. But what I didn't know, I apologize for my ignorance here, but what I didn't know was that there's a hole at the top of each of the pieces of the wall. And they call it, the designer call and others call it the Hole of Hope, because they look forward to the day when they come with a crane and dismantle the wall and take it down so the peoples can live side by side. That remains Israel's heart. And I know for average Palestinian, they would like to exist side by side and live in peace. But yeah, I would not be concerned about the sale and what happens with these things, because Trump and Netanyahu understand the issues and the goals clearly enough, in my view. Hey, thank you for the call. All right, friends, we're out of time, but 15 minutes from now, that's it. Set your clocks. Join us right over on Ask Dr. Brown on YouTube, and we'll continue with our weekly exclusive Q&A chat. Keep your eyes on Jesus, friends.